Life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. Any Ferris Bueller fans? Bueller, yeah? You remember that movie? Some of y'all weren't around when that movie came out, but I remember watching that and hearing that quote. Life moves pretty fast. I mean, this whole premise is that they go and they do things out of the ordinary. They skip school. If you don't stop, his whole premise was, if you don't stop, life's moving fast, and you don't look around once in a while, you could miss it. I think we would all agree that time flies. Raise your hand. Would you agree? Like, you could just say that time flies. Life moves quickly, and if we're not careful, we'll blink and our time will be gone. So because time flies by and we've got so much to accomplish, like that's the other part of that. Time's moving so fast and we all have so much to accomplish. We gotta do so many things, then we've gotta move. We gotta get going. We gotta do all of these things because time is precious and it's flying by. And so we've learned, I don't know if it's a good thing we've learned. I don't think it's a good thing, but we've learned to live an extremely fast-paced life. Right now, some of y'all, I walked in hurried. This week, I felt hurried. Some of y'all are already just thinking about the things that you have to do today. Or you're thinking that my kids are home for a week from spring break. What are we going to do as they are home? We've learned to live an extremely fast-paced life. We've adapted. Matter of fact, a lot of us have probably even read books on how to be efficient, how to be more efficient. We've listened to podcasts on how to be more productive. I'd even venture to say we've become multitasking wizards. Because time is flying by, we've learned how to do it all. And at the same time, time is fleeting. We've learned to multitask. Are you even living, right? Like, just think about your life. Are you even living if you don't have an episode of The Office on your TV while at the same time you're cooking dinner? While at the same time you have your laptop open, you're replying to an email for work. While at the same time your phone's getting lit up with 17 different group messages, why on earth are we in so many group messages? But your phone's getting lit up and it's just getting notification after notification of all of these things that are hitting you at the same time. Then you throw kids into the mix, right? Like Sarah just bit little Johnny because he stole her iPad. You've got to now step in. You have all this stuff happen. You got to step in and you got to discipline. And Andrew's just trying to get ready for his basketball practice because he has three practices a week for an hour and a half at every time because why not, right? Like, you just got to do it. Also, you have community group tonight. Like, all of these things are going through, and we're getting hit and bombarded every day of the week. And if you're not living this type of fast-paced lifestyle, I think we've been duped, convinced that we're falling behind. If I don't do all this stuff, then I'm just falling behind in the world. Like, we feel this, don't we? Like, you feel that tension? I think we see this in all of life. You think about work. If you're not moving constantly up a ladder, if you're not making more sales in your work, if you're not doing more than the other people around you, you feel you're going to get left behind. So what do? We work longer hours. We reply to emails at 9 o'clock at night. We work on the weekends so that we can try to get ahead. That's in work. Think about your hobbies. This is interesting, your hobbies. If you're not reading more books this year than last year, you're gonna get left behind. If you're not shooting below 100 on the golf course, then you better work harder. These are hobbies, right? Like, if you're not progressing quicker than your friends at something, you're gonna get left behind. You've gotta find more ways to be more efficient, to do more. You gotta keep up. You gotta work at it more. I thought this was a hobby, but I think we could relate to some of that. How about in driving? If your goal isn't to beat the ETA that Waze gives you, you're losing at life. Just joking. But some of y'all know that feeling, right? Like 852, I'll show you. Whoever you are, I'll show you. I know how to get there. How about with parenting? If your kids aren't making straight A's, are you even a good parent? If your kid doesn't make the A team, will they even make it as an adult? Sounds funny, but the things that we process as parents, we got to keep up with everyone around us. That other family has their kids on this team. They're doing these private lessons. Therefore, we need to do that too. We need more practices. If you ain't first, you're last. Ricky Bobby, right? Like, anybody? Lots of movie quotes today, yeah. Our time is spent going 90 to nothing, doing all the things, and we drag our kids from one event to the next, and we convince ourselves that we're doing it for them because we just want to afford our kids the opportunity. Man, time is flying by, and there's not a thing that you or I could do to create more of it. You can't go out and find more time anywhere. The time that has been given to you is it. And that's the tension that we live in today in 2024. Life is fast. We have so much to do. We must be efficient, so we pack it all in. And I think most of us, if we're honest, we feel this tension that we live in, and we wonder and hope for a better way. Now, as great as all of those podcasts are that you might have listened to about how to be more efficient, as good as all the books on the shelf and all of the knowledge and wisdom that those books can offer you. I think I've said this before. Somebody handed me a book one time. It was 99 ways to simplify your life and be more efficient. And the whole time I'm sitting here reading the title and they're bragging about how awesome it is. And I'm like, 99? 99, you want me to do 99 things? But that's the world we live in. Better than all the tips and the tricks of how to live life to the fullest and become more efficient. I want to put before each of us this morning this simple truth from one of the wisest men to have ever lived, Solomon. He says this in Proverbs 13, verse 4. The slacker craves, yet has nothing, but the diligent is fully satisfied. Now, we could certainly come at the angle here of work. If you recall our summer series, this is just kind of a continuation. Back in the summer, we did Psalms and Proverbs and looked at wisdom. We actually looked at a collection of Proverbs on work. So while this verse certainly can apply to the area of work, not being a slacker, I mean, we could easily insert that. Being diligent, I want us to consider this question, though. What does it look like for you and me to be diligent with our time? What does it look like for you to be diligent with your time? Now, to be diligent, that means to be aware of, to be careful with, to be attentive to the time that you've been given. And two things I want us to see this morning pretty quick is, number one, I think it's pretty obvious. I've already mentioned it, but we have got to acknowledge that time is a gift from God. Psalm 39, Slayton read it. Lord, make me aware of my end and the number of my days so that I will know how short-lived I am. In fact, you have made my days just inches long and my lifespan is as nothing to you. Yes, every human being stands as only a vapor. Yes, a person goes about like a mere shadow. Indeed, they rush around in vain, gathering possessions without knowing who will get them. Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Make us aware, the psalmist says. Our entire lifetime is just a moment to God. We are merely moving shadows, and all of our busy, we see it right here. All of our busyness and all of our running around for the things of this world will end in nothing. Or as Solomon says, the slacker craves, yet he has nothing. So being diligent with your time acknowledges that time is a gift from God. That's the first thing. It's a gift from God. And then two, being diligent with your time leads to a life where you are fully satisfied in him. The psalmist says, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in you. Solomon says, the diligent are fully satisfied. In what? Well, not the way of the slacker, the way of the Lord. Solomon knows that. And he says the diligent are actually fully satisfied in God. And some of us would say, man, this all sounds amazing. Like, I want to live that life. I want to recognize that time is a gift. I want to be fully satisfied. So the question now turns into this. Well, how do we live a life like this? In as simple as I can put it, something that has really helped me over the last 18 months in this journey of just slowing down and learning the rhythm of life and how unhealthy out of a pace that I was running and dragging my family along with me, I've learned this. We learn to be with Jesus. Like that, it's an elementary call. We learn to be with Jesus. It's a simple call, but one that is totally radical. I think we do so much that we forget to just be. I think we just go so fast that we forget that we're actually a human being that has emotions, that has feelings, that has thoughts, that has desires, that has passions, that guess what? You can get burnt out. You can work too hard. We forget that we are human because we are doing so much. And so I think the better way for each of us, if we want to be diligent with our time, if we want to really be satisfied in Him, then we need to learn to just be with Jesus, to be aware of His presence, to be attentive to the voice of God, or as Jesus would teach us, to abide in Him, to remain, to stay, to dwell in Jesus, to never leave there. Like, you don't get to be with Jesus so that you can get to be somewhere else. The goal and the glory of the gospel is we get all of Him. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit says, no. There's no, like, stair steps. There's no ladder to where this person might get more. You're a preacher. You're going to get more. No. Level playing field at the foot of the cross. And the gift of the gospel is that we get all of Him. And we truly can learn to be with Him and be satisfied in Him. Be attentive, to dwell, to stay, to remain, to never leave, to be diligent with Him. And what's the promise with being with Him? You're going to be fully satisfied. There's also a promise for when we're not with Him. Solomon says, the slacker craves, yet has nothing. So you're like, well, wait a second. Slacker, does that mean I need to do something? And yes, be with Jesus. But when we hear be with Jesus, I think we think we got to do all of these things. But I think wisdom steps in here. If you think about Proverbs and how the Lord works through His text, I think wisdom steps in and reminds us that God's not asking you to do something you're not already doing. Meaning, you are not created to worship. You are created worshiping. So that means you are already abiding in something. You're already finding satisfaction in something. And whatever you're abiding in, remaining in, staying with, pursuing, whatever you're abiding in will determine the fruit of your life. So if you're rooted in mindless scrolling of social media, it's going to form you. We say over and over again, at all times, your children are being discipled and formed. They are learning to abide in something at all times, just like all of us. And if you're rooted in this mindless scrolling of social media, that will form you more than likely into somebody who has an anxious presence. Why? Because if you're on Instagram and you see all of these perfect families in their photos, I would say lies. I have had family photo opportunities over the years. All of us know how it goes. I've never met a family that said, man, our family really came out loving each other a lot more after that family photo session. It's fake smiles. It's if you don't smile right now, I promise you, son. Like, I get that. But we scroll and we see nothing but perfect and beauty, and we think that, man, this mindless scrolling is forming us into being anxious. Like, well, my family doesn't look like that. My kids don't act like this. My son didn't make this team. We become distracted. We become angry or arrogant as we play the comparison game. I mean, that's just social media. If that doesn't catch you, maybe it's other types of media where you just binge watch, you just stream whatever it is that's on the screen. That will shape you and form you as well. Down that rabbit hole is probably lustful thoughts and desires. You become restless, you become bored, and one 24-minute Seinfeld episode turns into a whole season in a week, and you're like, I just watched 24 episodes in a week. We just waste time. I've never done that, by the way. Maybe with The Office. All of these things that we give our time, energy, and attention to are all keeping us from being present with Jesus. Now, you're like, man, this guy is very legalistic. He's telling us we can't do this. No, I'm not saying we can't enjoy those things. Like, that would be a surface level legalistic sermon if I just left it at that. I'm not saying we can't enjoy it. I'm saying, are you rooted in? Is this what shapes your life? Are you abiding in these things? Better yet, if you have 25 minutes in your time to just be quiet and still, what are you running to? Are these things forming you more than the person of Jesus? Those things we run to, the idols of our hearts, will always leave you wanting more. I think there's a book in the Old Testament. Maybe we should do Judges again. Just joking. We're not going back to Judges. But, right, if you think about that, 22 weeks of us preaching about the idols of our hearts will always overpromise and underdeliver. And what Solomon says, one of the wisest men to live, he says, the slacker craves yet has nothing. So when we run to those things, when we waste our time with those things, we are left with nothing except wasted time. John Bunyan in The Pilgrim's Progress, he says, an idle man's brain is the devil's workshop. You see, the slacker craves, but he's idle. He wants all of this stuff. He wants to do things for the Lord, but he's idle. His time is wasted, and that's a dangerous place to be. It's the devil's workshop. And he goes on and he talks about fighting the idle brain with prayer or being with Jesus, as I've described it this morning. And he says this: prayer opens up the heart to God, and it is the means by which the soul, though empty, is filled with God. Solomon would say, the diligent are fully satisfied. If we would learn to just be with Jesus, to be rooted in him, to abide in him, we see we're going to be fully satisfied. Like, that's a promise, and there's beautiful fruit to that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. What beautiful fruit comes when we actually abide, when we're rooted in the way of Jesus, when we are with Jesus. But I think to just push it a little bit further this morning, I think some of us hear that invitation of being with Jesus and we're worried about that. Like, we're worried about, what does that mean to be with him? We get a little uneasy because we know that if we were to slow down enough, typically, that means it's going to bring quietness. Life gets quiet, and when it's quiet, we are scared of what the quiet has to offer. We're scared that the quiet is just going to offer words like this: discouragement. I'm inadequate. I'm disappointment. I'm unlovely, I'm unwanted. I'll never be enough. I'm such a letdown. I think if we're honest and you can get your soul quiet enough, you start hearing these whispers that you're a failure. I'm a mistake. And so we run to those other devices. We don't want to hear those words. We spend time watching this and scrolling this. And what does that do for us? How does your heart feel after scrolling Instagram? And do you not find yourself more anxious when you read news headlines and you run to this or this Facebook? Do we not feel more anxious and like, man, what is going on in my heart? And then you start to hear those words, even still, in the quiet of a letdown, a failure, a mistake. Family, those are lies. The enemy is good at whispering those lies to us. And I think he's convinced us that if we slow down enough in our life and we enjoy the quiet and actually are present with Jesus, then we're going to hear words like that. Those words come from the enemy himself. That's not what the Father thinks about you. He doesn't look at you disappointed. He doesn't look at you of like, man, what a mistake. Man, I wasted some creation on that man. What a loser that guy turned out to be. It's in those quiet moments that we're convinced if we would just run to anything but the one who loves us, then we'll be satisfied. But those things will chew you up and spit you out over and over again. And it's a lie that you think if you're quiet and still enough that the Father would look at you disappointed. Scripture says the diligent are fully satisfied in Jesus. And Jesus would then say, abide in me. I said it earlier, but Jesus isn't asking you to do something new. The Father gave you your heart. He knows it from the inside and out. Better than anyone, the Father knows you. And so this invitation isn't some complex formula. It's not, that's not how he works. He's not out to trick you. He's not out to deceive you, to confuse you. I believe he is inviting you to slow down, to simplify our lives around some very basic truths. Be with him. And the more you're with him, he promises a beautiful result. Guess what? The more you're with him, here's the promise, you're going to become more like him. And the more we become like Jesus, the more we'll do as he did. The invitation isn't to do for him. The invitation is to be with him, to become like him, and then to do as he did. The question then becomes, are you willing to be diligent with your time? Or as John Mark Comer would say, are you willing to unhurry your life so you can be with him? Slacker craves it. I think there are a lot of genuine brothers and sisters in Christ. I would put myself in that category even times as a slacker. Like, I crave that. God, I just want to be with you. But I get lost in just thinking and pondering and daydreaming. I'm not willing to unhurry my life to just be with him. The slacker craves it, but he's left with nothing but those daydreams. Or as Paul would say in 1 Corinthians, running aimlessly, boxing at the air, just moving through life so fast that you miss what God has for you. We're just wasting time chasing things that culture convinces us are more important things for us to do. That's the slacker. The diligent, however, are fully satisfied. And they're satisfied because they're learning to just be with Jesus. They're abiding in him again. They're dwelling with, they're remaining, they're staying with Jesus. They're attentive to the voice of God. They recognize his voice. They understand the Father's presence with them. I started with some real problems that we all feel, right? Like we live at a pace that is just too fast. I bet each of us came in a bit tired and weary. We don't have margins anymore in life. It's just one big blur. And I think there's a reason why when you read, I'll speak to myself this morning. I don't want to presume to know what you're feeling. If you're not feeling any anxiousness about trying to keep up with people or that, man, more power to you. Keep pressing into Jesus. For me, though, I live sometimes, a lot of times, at a too fast-paced life. And so there's a reason Psalm 23, when I read it, becomes one of my favorites. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. You see, the slacker in all of us craves this. We want it. That sounds really good, Matt. We strive to do so much in life for God to achieve this, but the diligent are just satisfied when they're with Jesus. I love that it says, he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. None of this says, I earned that. None of this says, go out and do this so that you can have this. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need. And because I am fully satisfied, diligent with my time, he's all that I need, then he lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. If that one didn't get you, maybe there's a reason some of us love the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11, 28. I'd say the slacker in all of us craves this. We want this. I'd love this type of rest. And we strive to do so much for God to earn this, but the diligent are just satisfied when they're with Jesus. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The invitation isn't to do things for him. It's to be with him. Now, I do think I need to put before us a true reality to being with Jesus, because there's a great cost to being with him. I think this is where, if you think back to that orientation, disorientation, reorientation, I talked about the wall. I think a lot of us in our spiritual formation, this journey that we're on with Christ, I think this is the wall. We know that we want to be with him. We don't want to be a slacker. We want to be diligent with our time. But we see that there's a great cost at being with him. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he explained to them what was about to happen. His death, he predicted his death and his resurrection. Then he looks at his disciples and he says this, if anyone wants to follow after me, if anybody wants to be with me, if anyone wants to follow after me, this is Jesus' red letters right here, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Back to the question I said a few minutes ago, are you willing to unhurry your life so you can be with him? Are you willing to die to yourself? Are you willing to live a countercultural life? Are you willing to slow down enough and just be with God? The invitation for you is to not live a life of busyness. I don't think we fix a slacker's heart with doing more things. I actually think that we fix it by being diligent and being with the only one who can fix it. And we learn to become fully satisfied in Christ. And man, when we can get there and keep going back there and keep staying put there, then every relationship changes. how we work, how we parent our kids, our marriage. Every relationship changes when we are fully satisfied in Christ. And you know why? Because that means I'm not looking to Cody to fully satisfy me. I'm not looking at you to give me the approval so that I can find full satisfaction in what I do. I'm not looking at the work that we do. I'm not looking at how many comments we get on Instagram. I'm not looking at whatever, fill in the blank. I don't need that. Those people, I love my bride. She's going to let me down. I'm going to let her down. If I am banking on her to fully satisfy me, not only is that just unwise on my part, it is unfair to her. It is so unfair that I would look at her and put that weight on her and say, I need you to affirm me. I need you to do this, because if you're not affirming me and you're not agreeing with me, then what am I living for? She'll never fully satisfy me. If I'm reading this right, the diligent will be fully satisfied in Christ. We are diligent and fully satisfied in Him. Every relationship changes. Do you know Him? You can go back to that passage where Jesus says, if anyone wants to follow me, chapter 16. Do you know Him? You can go back to that passage and go up a few verses. He looks at His disciples and says, who do they say that I am? And they answer, some say the Messiah, some say this. And then He leans in a little bit closer and a little bit more personal. He's got all of His disciples around, and He looks at them and He says, that's great that that's what they say, but who do you say that I am? What a personal invitation, very vulnerable point to be at in life, where the Savior of the world looks and He leans in and He says, who do you say that I am? Friend, I can't answer that question for you today. I don't know what your response is. If He's your Savior, just yearn to be with Him, long to be with Him, and stay there. Trust Him that He will fully satisfy your life, that He is more than enough, that you have all of His promises are yes and amen in His word, that He loves you, that He's for you. Stay there. Become more like Him, and then do the things that He did. If He's just a good dude, and you've never acknowledged that He is the Son of God, that He is the Messiah, that He truly is the Savior of the world, then I just encourage you today to sit there and ask whatever question that you think you need to ask to the Father. He's listening to you. He's leaning in and He's saying, I know that you know a lot about me. I know that you went to Sunday school class. I know that your parents did this. I know that you might have even got baptized when you were 6 years old, but I'm not asking about any of that. Who do you say that I am? Father, I pray that you would move in a mighty way this morning as we think about our time and how we spend it. I mean, this could be a pure word as a well that never runs dry when it comes to the wisdom and knowledge of how to live a wise life and what to do with our time. Just a simple verse, Lord, that we would be diligent with our time and not a slacker, not get caught daydreaming, but just somebody who's diligent and fully satisfied in you. Lord, would you allow us to respond to your word this morning? Speak to us, encourage us, draw near to us. Lord, if there's somebody that's never answered that question, would you lean into them, press into them? Would they wrestle with the question, who do you say that I am? Teach us your ways, Lord. We need your help. May your grace abound this morning. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.